Well, friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We'll be reading a portion of that passage of Genesis chapter 6. On page 8 in your Bibles, I'm sure you knew that by now, Genesis chapter 6, and we'll be reading 5 through 22, 5 through the end of the chapter. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door inside in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, can you imagine Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord? That's how Noah gets into the act in the opening chapters of Genesis. Noah finds out that the Lord God looks favorably upon him, has covered Noah with his undeserved favor, his grace. After our reading, would you have thought that in a time like this, the Lord God would look favorably on anyone? This is a world that is corrupt in God's sight, as verse 11 tells us. Everywhere God looks, he sees corruption. He sees a world lying in ruins. That's what that word corrupt means in the original Hebrew. Morally, ethically, spiritually, the earth and its inhabitants lie in ruins. The same earth, mind you, that had been proclaimed good in the days of creation. With each massive day of creation, God declares what he made good. 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 And on the sixth colossal day, he declared it very good. But this good creation, just one generation in, the very first, was not good anymore. Adam and Eve sinned, rebelled against God, were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and the aftershocks of that first sin kept on jerking and pitching across the face of the earth. as the generations rolled along. Adam and Eve's son Cain murdered his brother Abel. And five generations later, Lamech also killed a man. He even boasted about it to both his wives with psalm-like parallelism in chapter 4, Genesis. The cadence is violent. The lyrics are proud. Adah and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. And in his hateful poetry, we actually hear the creation collapsing into ruin. We watch as the earth couldn't turn around, but rather becomes full of violence before our eyes. Be fruitful, fill the earth, God had told Adam and Eve, and now it is filled with violence. Murderously and proudly, sin is running its angry course, couldn't turn it around. A ruined earth, ruined by humanity's ruinous ways. And the narrator of this tragic story lets us see all this from God's perspective. Let's us see how God saw the earth. In chapter 6, verse 5, we read the summary of a ruined creation. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The earth was ruined. Couldn't turn back, couldn't turn it around. And the Lord God regretted, was grieved, that he had made human beings on this earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. And the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created. And with them the animals, the birds, the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. Who would have thought that in a time like this, the Lord God would look favorably on anyone? In a world where no one could turn it around and make it right again. Can you imagine Noah's surprise when he realizes that the gracious eyes of the Lord came to gaze on him? When Noah realizes for the first time that the Lord God was going to let Noah get into the grace act. Now, Noah was a righteous man, which means he didn't have enemies because he didn't wrong his neighbors. You could rightly say he walked with God, but did that mean he was perfect? No. He was bright enough to know that. He knew every day was a gift from God. He knew enjoying the favor of the Lord was a sheer gift from God. In this kind of world where you couldn't turn it around, he knew what he should have had justly coming to him. But then one day, God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. And I'm sure Noah wasn't surprised at all. He knew this day was coming. He heard the regret, the grief in the Lord's voice. But can you imagine Noah's surprise when he heard the Lord say this? So, make yourself an ark of cypress wood. And surely Noah thinks to himself, did I hear him right? Did he say, make yourself an ark? And then as he's wondering and hearing the exact dimensions and his instructions for building, he hears again the words of doom. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. And Noah thinks, well, I guess I heard him wrong. I must have been hearing things. But God continued, but I will establish my covenant with you, Noah, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you and a whole bunch of animals. They'll come to you and you'll need lots of food for them. Can you imagine what's going on in Noah's mind? How does one go about building a boat? Where's the water? How long is this going to take? It'll have to be enormous. there's never been a flood around here that I know of. Wait till the wife hears about this. How is this even possible? God, by his undeserved favor, has given Noah a course of action, has placed him at the starting line of a journey in his life, has set before him the adventure of a lifetime. It's unbelievable. It's too good to be true. And I'm sure Noah has no idea how it's possibly going to work. All Noah knows is God's undeserved favor, his grace, is upon him. All he knows is God has wondrously and inexplicably turned his face toward Noah. And when God does that, there's only one right answer. You answer in faith. When God faces you in a new direction in your life, in faith, you don't turn around. You can't turn around. Noah couldn't turn around. So he said, give me a hammer. I'm going to build me a boat. I'm going to build you a boat. In faith, you say, I'll set out on this course of action with you, Lord. In faith, you say, I'll join you in the adventure of a lifetime, God. In faith, you say, I'll take a first step over that starting line. Couldn't turn around if I wanted to. By faith, you do exactly what God tells you to do. That's what Noah did. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Noah lived by faith in the gracious God. I'm sure it was like this. I don't even know how to get started. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. And I don't know where it's going to end up. But when he swung that hammer for the very first time, that was it. He couldn't turn around after that. He was moving forward in faith with God. I will put my faith in you, Lord God, because you looked with favor on me. Hebrews 11 says about him, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Beloved in Christ, that's Noah. But what about you? What about you? Has the Lord God looked with favor on you? His Son, Jesus, paid for your sins through his death on the cross, didn't he? His Son, Jesus, offers you eternal life through his resurrection, doesn't he? Of course, he has looked with favor on you. The question is, how will you respond to his undeserved favor? How will you respond to his grace? God wants you to get in on the act, to go with him on the journey. How will you respond? What journey is he placing you on even now? A journey that once on it, you couldn't turn around even if you wanted to. Maybe it's the journey that begins them all. Giving your life to Christ, receiving this gift of salvation, forgiveness, and eternal life. Is that the journey you're about to begin? If it is, will you respond in faith? Or maybe it's simply to profess your faith out loud, to publicly say it before your fellow brothers and sisters, to tell everyone, I love Jesus. Has God put you at the starting line of that journey? Today, some of our young people will meet the elders to do just that. And then a few weeks more, they'll do that here in worship. Is that the journey God is setting you on next time? If it is, will you respond in faith? Maybe it's joining or starting of a Bible study. Has God placed you on that journey with him? Is that the journey he's getting ready for you to begin? If it is, will you respond in faith? Maybe you're wondering if you're hearing a call into the ministry to become a pastor or a missionary on the mission field. Maybe that journey is something God wants you to be praying about. Maybe it scares you and excites you all at once. Is it time to respond in faith? even if it'll be a few years of training that you have ahead of you, but once on it, you couldn't turn around even if you wanted to. Is that where God is leading you? If He is, will you respond in faith? Maybe there's a neighbor or a coworker who needs a friend, who needs an encourager, who needs a person who knows Christ and will reflect Christ's light on them. Is that you? Is God setting you up for that journey? If He is, will you respond in faith? Maybe you've caught wind of the joy of being on a giving adventure. Maybe a new journey of sacrificial giving, offering your finances to the Lord in greater measure. Maybe you're noticing a strange, mysterious dissatisfaction with the percentage you're giving right now to the Lord. Maybe God has started you already on an adventure of generosity that your heart has been longing for some time. If so, will you respond in faith? Maybe there's something at Faith Community Church that needs doing, a ministry that needs starting, a cause that needs championing, a lack of participants that needs your participation. Is God putting you on that journey? And if so, will you respond in faith? Or maybe there's a journey you need to take with a fellow brother or sister, a grudge you hold, or a wrong that needs righting. Next week, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, a meal that shows there's loving unity between all of us, is God putting you on a journey of going to someone and apologizing to them this week, or forgiving someone this week? A journey of reconciliation that should have happened long ago. If so, will you respond in faith? Or maybe you're about to get a letter in the mail saying you've been nominated for the holy office of elder or deacon in this faith community, and your first emotion will be fear. I can't do that. Or irritation. I don't have time. That's someone else's job. But I want to ask you right now, do you think it could be something else? Do you think God Himself is having you line up at the starting line for the faith and service journey of a lifetime to go out on a run with Jesus like you've never been on before? And once on it, you wouldn't turn around for anything. If so, will you respond in faith? Every one of us, Noah and all of us, we come to these journeys with fear, confusion, anxiety, irritation, insecurity, cowardice, doubt. Lord, I don't even know how to get started on this journey. I don't know how I'm going to get through it, and I certainly don't know where it's going to end up. Beloved, let the story of Noah speak to you today, who said, despite all those things, for this journey, I put my faith in You, Lord God, because You looked with favor on me first. Noah, confused as he surely was, couldn't turn around once he swung that hammer the first time. And surely he remembered this just like we can. The Lord will never forsake you. He will walk with you the whole way through the journey. He never lets go of the one on whom He has shown favor and who responds to His favor by putting faith in Him. He never will let go. Oh, let me correct that. He did let go. Once. While his own son hung on the cross, paid for our sins. His father forsook him there. Listen, so that he would never have to forsake any of us. And even then, his son, Jesus' journey ended in glory at God's right hand. If that doesn't give you reason to respond in faith like Noah on your journeys, nothing will. Jesus couldn't turn around even when enduring the eternal punishment and death for our sin. Once on that journey, he couldn't turn around. So, beloved, let the story of Noah speak to you today. Noah, who said, despite all those things, for this journey, I put my faith in you, Lord God, because you looked with favor on me first. I will not turn around, couldn't turn around if I wanted to. Beloved, let Noah's story speak to you that way today. And today also, I want to let someone else's story speak to you. Someone who, just like Noah, is going through this life by faith. And she's not about to turn around either. She couldn't turn around. Even when a car accident, for all intents and purposes, should have taken her life. Almost 5 months now. On her walk of faith recovery, she couldn't turn around. She could barely move, but she couldn't turn around. Because she knew and has known that God has brought her this far. And she knows if it is God's will, he will walk her right back to the place where she can serve in this church the way she was serving before. She wants to do that so badly. She wanted to tell you that today. But her journey took her back to the hospital one more time. But regardless, she's not turning around. She's moving forward in faith. She's come this far leaning on the Lord. She wants to come even further, not turning around ever. Carol Ebels wanted to come here and tell you that today. And she also wanted to sing a song she loves, a solo, and also you joining in with her. I'm sure she'll be singing along, watching the live stream at Butterworth Hospital, and she asked if I could fill in for her today, okay? We've come this far by faith. Oh, can't turn around. Join me when I prompt you, okay? We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed us yet. Can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Don't be discouraged with trouble in your life. He'll bear your burdens and remove all misery and strife. That's why we've come this far by faith. Beloved in Christ, we can't turn around.